chapter number 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you would. All the young people are making their way out. I'm going to ask everyone else, would you stand with me, please? How many of you say it's a little bit warm right now in here? Anyone? All right, 3. How many of you say it's just right? The majority, all right, will not ask for cold. So I asked that earlier. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It's good to have you here today. It's good to be in the house of God. And I am thankful for you being here this morning. I'm going to read here, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 5. Follow along if you would. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." This morning, if you would go back up in verse number 3, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing." They were willing of themselves. This morning, I'm going to ask you a question by the title of my message, "Are you willing?" They were willing. Now, I'm going to say several words about this passage. We're going to look at others as well, but they were willing of themselves to be used by God. Are you willing? Are you willing to be used by God in whatever fashion He wants? Our emphasis is on worldwide missions. But are you willing to be used by God in whatever way He wants? Well, I pray that you are. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll have our special. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray you would help us as a church to be willing. That we would answer that call with a resounding yes. Yes. Yes, we're willing. I am willing. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we look at the Bible this morning. Again, Lord, I will ask if there is even one here who has never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity to give the gospel. But Lord, I beg you, would the Holy Spirit be so very real in their heart that they would respond? Lord, that they would make certain before they leave this church, they would make certain of their salvation. Bless our time together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And finish strong, right? Amen. Amen. Brother Joey, I've watched as people have sung a song and they got to that point and they messed it up and they literally stopped and walked off and said, "I'm sorry. Thank you for finishing." Amen. Finish strong. Amen. Are you willing? Are you willing this morning to be involved? Are you willing to do what the Lord wants? Amen. Are you willing to take a part of the ministry that He has for our church and for you specifically, for you individually? Here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, as we have read these first verses, of course, our theme for our conference, "Abound in this grace," also is found in verse number 7. "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also." Grace giving is what it used to be called. We call it a faith promise commitment nowadays. A faith promise missions conference. By faith, I have asked, would you promise to the Lord to be involved in a financial way to help support not just the 26 missionaries that we as a church support now, but the two that we would like to bring on. And as time moves forward, more and more and more, as we see the need that the world has, are you willing to be involved? Are you willing? As I began here in 2 Corinthians 8, we see Paul, he's speaking about what took place in the region of Macedonia. We read about over in Philippians some of the things that happened. In Thessalonians, some of the things that happened. But we read here in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 8, "Moreover, brethren, We do you to wit of the grace of God. In other words, I want you to be mindful. I want you to understand God's grace upon this world, upon this earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I do you to wit, please would you understand the grace of God that He has bestowed upon, that He has given this world. The grace upon the churches of Macedonia. Macedonia. I don't have a good map here. Macedonia is, if you imagine on this map, you can understand the area of the Mediterranean Sea, and I'm going to kind of describe it graphically for you as you can see it. You have the Mediterranean Sea, and you know, Israel, just that small sliver of land, one of the smallest countries in the world, but yet one of the strongest, because of God, one of the strongest nations that we find upon this planet. So we have, right there on the eastern edge of the Mediterranean Sea, we find East. Yep, good. Is Israel. And then as you move up into Asia Minor, just up and a little bit to the west of that, and then you go across, still in the Mediterranean Sea, you get to the area of what we now know as Greece, and then even a little bit further west is the boot there that is Italy. So you can kind of describe that to yourself and understand it. The area that we're talking about is that area that we know as Greece, this area called Macedonia. In Macedonia, we find the city Philippi, to which, of course, the book of Philippians was written. In Macedonia, we find the city Thessalonica, which, of course, the Thessalonians, 1 and 2, was written to. We also find in that area a city named Berea. We don't find a book written to the church of Berea, but we do find the Bereans mentioned. We're going to look at here in a few moments. So these three specific cities that we're familiar with, now there were others that they visited. We read about last week some of the beginning of the first missionary visit or the first missionary journey that Paul began to take. And we talked about some of the area where they were first called Christians in Antioch, and we discussed that a little bit. And that first missionary journey began from Antioch and ended back in Antioch. But that's where we're talking about, this area of Macedonia, those churches in that area, their deep poverty, he tells us about in verse number 2. And of course, they abounded under the riches of their liberality. You see, there's something very encouraging to us about faith promise giving. There's something encouraging about it. It encourages the giver without doubt. When you begin to watch as God brings to your checkbook the money that you have promised Him in a faith promise conference, and you have no other way to explain it but that God made a way for me to be able to meet my faith promise. Now you might be misinclined to say, "Whoa, I got a bonus. I wasn't expecting a bonus. I got a Christmas bonus, honey. I didn't realize, man, my boss, he's never given us a Christmas bonus. Hey, let's go buy that new jet ski that we were wanting." Before we do that, let's stop and think, no, wait a minute, maybe this is how God is fulfilling my promise to Him. I have no idea how God is going to fulfill His promise to you. But if we promise to Him, He's always going to be faithful. So we see the encouragement that it gives to the giver, but we also see the encouragement that it gives to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, go over to chapter number 9, look in verse number 1. "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you." That word superfluous means extremely necessary. Paul is saying, I had to write unto you as touching the ministering to the saints. Verse number 2. "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." Now, the area of Macedonia, we talked about Greece. The area of Macedonia is a little bit higher than the tip
Achaia is that area that is down at the tip of that we know as Greece now. So he is saying, listen, those of you in Macedonia, which of course is where Corinth is found, those of you in Macedonia, I boast of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago. I'm sorry, I got those wrong. I apologize. Corinth is found in Achaia. Macedonia is where Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, that's where they are. But he's saying, listen, I was boasting about you Corinthians. I was bragging about you to the churches up in Philippi and in Thessalonica and Berea. And boy, did they get excited about what you had promised to do. Now, he's having to kind of berate them here because as we read, or we're not going to go there, but you could go back and you could look at it later. They had promised a year ago that they were going to start giving, but they hadn't been giving. And the churches up in Macedonia, boy, they had been excited. Are you serious? There's another church that wants to be involved in this. Well, we want to be involved in. And they began to give out of their deep poverty. See, there is something encouraging to others when we believe and we are engaged in faith promise giving. It's quite obvious that it encourages the missionaries, those that we financially support. It's without doubt that they're encouraged by the fact that, praise the Lord, there is a church out there in Charleston, South Carolina, that they have been faithful for some since I have come. We have supported them faithfully. Never missed a check. That's not to my credit. That's to your credit. That's to the credit of the church that would decide that they want to be involved. And I can only imagine how encouraging it is. And I can only imagine how discouraging it is. As I said before, when a missionary just realizes that they haven't received a check this month from that particular church. Well, I wonder what's going on. I wonder why. And I have heard, I know occasionally there's going to be a missionary that after several repeated weeks, and they know the church very well, they'll make a phone call perhaps to the pastor, the missions director, and they'll say, I don't know how to say this, I really don't want to bring this up, but has something happened? If something has happened, that's fine, but we've not received a check from the church for several months, all to the astonishment of the pastor, the missions director. They didn't realize that the checks hadn't been going. And so investigation is started and they find out what has happened and whatever changes need to be put into place. I understand that sometimes the missionaries have to do that, but I couldn't imagine what it must be to be a missionary over in a land where I can't get a job. Because you understand the visas that are given for missionaries aren't for employment. It's for religious purposes. They can't just go get a job. They can't just decide, as I did a few years back, I need some extra income. I'll go over here to Best Buy. Hey, can I have a job? Yes, good, great. I worked there for 3 years. Praise the Lord for that. They can't do that over in China. They can't do that over in wherever you name the place. Cambodia. They can't just decide I'm going to go get a job because their visa isn't a work visa. They are trusting the churches that have promised to support them. Something that we don't often talk about is the rate of inflation in foreign countries. The rate of inflation in foreign countries oftentimes is worse than we have it here. Be it the missionary, they don't get a cost of living increase oftentimes. And so they have to deal with and work with what has been promised to them. Now, those of you who are guests, don't get too scared. I'm not talking about money. This isn't an everyday sermon, all right? Every Sunday, we don't talk about money all the time. But right now, we need to. Because it's encouraging to the missionary when he receives that support check every month. Paul was a great encourager. Without doubt, he was a great preacher. But he knew how to encourage others as well. He had learned those things on the missionary journeys that he had had. And he saw the willingness, as we talked about, he saw the willingness here of the churches in Macedonia. Go back in chapter number 8 again, verse number 2. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing. He knew that willingness would be an encouragement to others, and he used their zeal to encourage others as he took missions trips. Oh, now, last Sunday we looked at the first missionary trip that Paul took. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles. Go with me over to Acts chapter number 16. Acts, right before you get to the book of Romans. Acts chapter number 16. We were studying out of Acts 13 last week. And Acts 13 shows us the beginning of that first missionary trip. And we went through and we kind of outlined some of the things that happened at the beginning of this. We certainly didn't go through the entire chapter. We didn't spill over into chapter number 14. But as we get here to chapter number 15, he is ready to embark on another missionary journey. But it begins in chapter number 14. In fact, if you will, take your Bible, go back. Go to chapter number 14. Look at verse number 26. In verse number 26, it says, "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." That is the very end of the first missionary journey. In Acts 14, verse number 26, they finalized it. They finished it. In verse number 28, it says, "And there they abode long time with the disciples." They had come together in verse number 27. They had rehearsed in the ears of everything that God had done. Oh, they told about their encounters with the churches. They told about the churches that had started. They talked about those who had trusted Christ. They talked about those who had been born again. They talked about those who had the zeal to do something for God in the house of God. Oh, they came back and they bragged about God for a while. And then in verse number 28, it tells us that they stayed right there for a long time. Chapter number 15 details some other things for us. But when we get over here in chapter number 15, and we see in verse number 36, it says, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Boy, he had the itch. He wanted to get back into those areas. He wanted to go back to those churches. He wanted to talk to those pastors that he had established and see how the churches were doing and watch as they were giving glory to God and see that the church was being strengthened and more people were being saved. He said to Barnabas, "Listen, let's go back. You and I had such a good time. Let's go back and let's visit some of those churches." Barnabas was all excited about it. He was on board. He said, "Man, that's a great idea. That's Paul. Oh, I can't wait. Man, we'll get everything done. We can start and we can go to here. Oh, you remember brother so-and-so? Oh, man, he was on fire for the Lord. Hey, let's take John Mark. Man, he'll enjoy that too." Boom! Paul stops and says, "We're not taking John Mark. He left us in Pamphylia. He walked away from the work of God. No, we're not taking him. But Paul, he's a good man. He would enjoy it. No, we're not taking him. Paul, I think we should. I'm sorry, but I disagree. I believe that he should go with us." "Well, you can disagree. In fact, you can go by yourself. Why don't you take him and you go?" And so they did. And we read that. We don't read all of that, but we read in verse number 38, Paul thought not good to take with them. In verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. That's in Acts 13:13. The rebellion number. Now, we talked last week about John Mark. He was a minister. He was there to their minister. He wasn't their pastor. He wasn't their preacher. He was there as an encourager. I don't know. I submitted last week. Perhaps he said, "I will be the one that I will get a job in every city that we go to, and you won't have to worry about going out and working. You won't have to worry about going out and trying to raise money. I'll take care of you financially. I'll make sure that the food is on the table. I'll make sure that the ship is ready to go and the captain is paid, and I'll be the one." I don't know what it was that he did, but he was there for their minister, to minister to them. So I guess I'm asking you again, would you be willing to be part of that ministry for a missionary that needs to go across the country, across the world, because God has put it on his heart? Don't be like John Mark that decided halfway through, "I'm done. I quit." Don't get halfway through. If you promised God a year ago that you were going to give financially to worldwide missions and you haven't fulfilled it, don't fulfill your promise for me, but I cannot strongly enough encourage you to fulfill it for God. He is the one that you'll let down. You made that promise to God. Finish strong. "But Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to do it." I don't know. Beg God and say, "Lord, what can I do?" John Mark, he says, I'm not going to take him with him. He says, why don't you take him? The contention, verse 39, was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, by the way, before we get such a bad taste in our mouth for John Mark, at the end of Paul's life, he said, bring him back. Bring him. He's profitable to me. Amen. In the ministry. I thank God that he got right, whatever it was. Whatever it is that you've done against God, you can get things right. And God can use you again. We have clear evidence of that in the Scripture. But we begin this missionary journey. This is the second missionary journey. Last week we looked at his first. This week we're going to look at his second missionary journey. In verse number 1 of chapter 16, it begins, says, then came he to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. I want us to see if you and I are willing this morning. Are we willing? We read about a man named Timothy, a young man named Timothy at this point. We understand from 2 Timothy 1, Paul says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So Acts doesn't give us his mother's name, but 2 Timothy does. So Eunice, his mother, as it says here, they come to Lystra and they see this man named Timothy. He's already a disciple. And we see that his mother, she was a Jewess and she believed. But his father was a Greek. Oh, his mom had been born again. His mom got saved. Eunice got saved and is accounted for in 2 Timothy. But we don't even read the name of his father. We don't even know the name of his dad. We know nothing more about him but the fact that he was a Greek and probably was steeped in Greek mythology. Probably disbelieved the Son of God. Probably thought all of the world's religions are the same. Probably thought there's not a bit of difference between what you're preaching and what I believe about all the Greek gods. We just give them different names. You want me to put Jesus on the shelf up next to Zeus? I'll do that. You want me to put Jesus up on the shelf next to Muhammad? Oh, I know that's not the Greek mythology. You want me to put Jesus on the shelf up next to my Hindu gods? Oh, yeah, I'll do that. But that's not salvation. Salvation is saying, I'm going to completely wipe the shelf of everything else I believe, and I'm going to put Jesus Christ there and none other but Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. You may say, oh, I believe all of the world's religions are the same. But until you believe that Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, died on a cross for your sin and then allowed His soul to go to hell to pay for your sin, rose out of hell, walked out of the tomb, and then ascended back to heaven some days later, until you believe that and by faith have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all of the world's religions are going to do you no good, and nor is that Bible going to do you any good whatsoever. Because you're a lost individual, as God's Word claims you. Destined for an eternity in hell. And Jesus Christ did everything that He possibly could, so much so that He shed His blood on the wicked, cruel cross of Calvary, so much so that His soul went to hell to pay for your sin. But yet we believe, oh, all of the world, not I. But I fear so many that I've spoken to. All of the world's religions are the same, and as long as you're sincere, God's going to see that. Well, no, you can be sincerely wrong and miss heaven and spend eternity lost and separated from God Almighty. We look at Timothy. All that Timothy was. Timothy was, he was faithful to death. The Bible doesn't detail and describe his death. But it's believed that he died as a martyr for his beliefs and for his preaching. He was faithful to death. He was a powerful evangelist. He was a strong pastor. In fact, he was the kind of leader that every church needs. That's who Timothy was. Are you willing? Are you willing to see a Timothy serve? If you're inclined to take notes, I want you to write that down. Am I willing to see a Timothy serve? Who would ever have dreamed what young Timothy would do for the Lord? His household wasn't a typical fundamental Baptist home. His mom, a believer. His grandmother, a believer. But yet, his dad, more than likely unsaved. A broken home spiritually. See, it doesn't matter your background. You can tell me, well, I was raised in the Catholic Church. That doesn't mean anything to God. Well, I was raised in a Baptist church. That doesn't mean anything to God. I know a young man that his dad came to our church, a Baptist church. His mom went to the Catholic church. And that little boy was confused. And to this day is still confused. Are you willing? Are you willing to see a Timothy serve? Paul had no idea what this young man, Timothy, was going to do. Now, I don't know. We didn't read. We didn't read over there in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, we were there in chapters 8 and 9, and I believe it's over in chapter number 10. He is talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, I robbed other churches. Now, understand the temper of the statement. He didn't go in with a gun, with a mask, and say, give me all your money. But what he was saying to the church of Corinth is, I've not charged you anything. I've not asked anything from you. Other churches have provided for me. Paul is clear to teach us that. Other churches have monetarily provided so that I can come out and start churches and help churches and strengthen churches. Are you willing to see a Timothy raised up one day over in some foreign country that you'll never meet? Are you willing to see a young Timothy that would get saved and would get involved and would decide, hey, this is for me. I will serve my God. I will be faithful. Oh, Lord, if you would ever allow me to stand in a pulpit and you allow me to preach the Word of God, Lord, I would gladly do that. Are you willing to see that? Paul had no idea what Timothy was going to do when he first met him. Timothy, is that what your name was? Oh, good to meet you, Timothy. My name is Paul. My name used to be Saul, but now it's Paul. It's a long story, but anyway, you just call me Paul. Man, it's good to meet you. Hey, so what do you do around here? What do you do around the church? What is it you're interested in? Oh, really? Boy, you like the things of God? Man, you have a desire to preach one day? Well, I'd love to see that. I'd love to hear that. And Paul got to nurture him. He called him his son in the faith. Who would ever have dreamed that that little boy named Timothy would be all that he was? Are you willing? Are you willing to see a Timothy serve in Honduras? The flag, Honduras. I was asked this morning, what flag is that? I'm like, I don't know. Looked up there. Honduras. Are you willing to see a Timothy raised up in Honduras? Well, I don't think it can. You Pharisee. You Pharisee. You're telling me that you don't think that God could raise up a man in Kenya to preach the Word of God? A man in Korea, South Korea, that would stand strong and mighty and national and preach the Word of God? That you don't think that someone in Nicaragua can take a Bible and go door to door to door to door and speak to those Nicaraguans in their poverty and see hundreds come to know Christ? Are you willing? Are you willing to see a man named Timothy serve his Lord? He was the kind of an individual that you might see playing outside of the home with other children. But someone took an interest in him and then poured his life into Timothy. That's what Paul did. Are you willing to be a part of that? Are you willing to see a Timothy sell out for Christ? What would you give to see a Timothy raised up somewhere in this world? Are you willing, the second thing I want you to write down, are you willing to see churches started? Look at verse number 5. You're there in chapter 16, verse number 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. You see, the heartbeat of every missionary is to see local churches planted, pastored by local preachers. I will tell you, Brother Childs is a perfect example of that, and I know there are hundreds and hundreds of others that we could give example of. But we know Brother Childs a little bit personally. He is a perfect example of seeing someone come to know Christ as their Savior, and then using that individual, training that individual, pouring himself into Anjun. And watching as Anjun now departs from Beijing and goes out to the very far reaches of Western China into the area that is right next to Tibet and into the area where there are soldiers, Chinese soldiers, who detest everything that he's doing. But they allow him to do it. And you watch as an Anjun, a young Timothy, plants a church. As another one, you come back a little bit in China, you come back east a little bit, about in the middle of it in Kashgar, and another church is planted there, and I wish I could, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of all of the pastors that Brother Childs has been able to pour himself into and see raised up, and churches started. Are you willing? Are you willing to see churches started? Are you willing to see exactly what Paul did? Exactly. Look there in chapter number 16. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, we're here in Acts 16. Look at verse 12. And from thence sailed to Philippi. See, he started a church in Philippi. He's visiting it now. Go to chapter number 17. Look at verse number 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came unto Thessalonica, where were the synagogue of the Jews. So now we see him starting in Thessalonica, another church, or at least visiting it. Go down to verse number 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Are you willing to see churches started in every country of the missionaries that we support? Are you willing to see, as a missionary goes, with the money that you have been willing to be used by God, to put in that offering plate on a weekly basis so that that missionary doesn't have to worry about how am I going to fund this? How am I going to get to the foreign field? What am I going to do for my family? Are you willing to see churches started? The third thing, go back to Acts 16 again. Look at verses 14 and 15. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I asked first, are you willing to see Timothy serve? Are you willing, secondly, to see churches started? Are you willing, number three, are you willing to see people submitted? Are you willing to see people submitted? We watch this lady, a certain lady, we don't even have her name. It might be that Eunice, Timothy's mother, was saved at Lystra. We don't know where she was saved. I doubt that this is that woman. But this dear woman, she came to them, she said, oh, listen, if you will judge me submitted to God, faithful to His service, I want God to see my faithfulness. But I have to be honest. I want you to see my faithfulness too. I don't have to answer to you. But what kind of a testimony do I have if I tell God I'm faithful to you, but yet my fellow believers don't ever see my faithfulness? Amen. What kind of a testimony is that for the God that you say that you're faithful to? Oh, she said, do you judge me faithful? Do you judge me submitted? Oh, are you willing? Are you willing to see people that might be down in Nicaragua, whether it be Brother Peyton, whether it be Brother Stallnaker, who's there that we already support? Are you willing to see in Colombia, South America, Brother Garrison? Are you willing for him, for a name that you'll never know? A certain lady. You ever read any of those of the missionary letters? I hope you do. Oftentimes they'll give you names. Sometimes they'll just give you a letter of the certain person's name. Pray for them. I think to myself, man, I don't know them. I'll never know them. Sometimes the names I can't even pronounce. Are you willing to see a Brother Trell who is over in Jordan wanting so badly, so desperately to get into Iraq? Not the northern reaches of Iraq where all of the Christians are. He wants to go to the south area of Iraq. Are you willing that he would be able to see someone submitted to God because of your dollar that you sent? because of your willingness to give all the world over. There are people who have an earnest desire to be submitted, to be found faithful. Go to chapter 17. Look at verses 10 and 11 again. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas unto Berea, by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Are you willing to see people submitted? There are people who will grow in their understanding all across this world because a preacher was sent. Because Coastal Light Baptist Church took part of sending them across into that field, into that country. Are you willing to see over in Germany, as those that we support in Germany, are you willing to see as they're able to actually take and teach someone how to study the Word of God for themselves, how to read the Bible, that they should read the Bible?
Amen.
Oh, but wait a minute. You're not too concerned whether they read the Bible, because you don't read the Bible. Why would you care if they read the Bible? Well, even if you're not willing to, if you're saved, I would think that you would have a desire in your heart that someone else would learn what's right about the Christian life. That they would realize that they need to pray, even though you or I don't pray. That we would realize that they learned, the light bulb went on. I need to be in church. Oh, that we would learn those things. Are you willing that someone else will learn them? But are you willing to be one of those people who will learn them? I want to go on. Are you willing to see a Timothy served? To see churches started? To see people submitted? Are you willing to see people saved? Go back to chapter number 16. Look at verse number 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they were in prison here by this point. They prayed and sang songs, sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What is it going to take for you to be saved? I would to God that we could have that kind of an episode happen for every person in this auditorium. Especially for the ones that would have to say, "I have no idea where I would spend eternity. Heaven, hell, I don't know." I would love for that kind of an episode to take place in your life that would shake you so hard that you begged, "What must I do to be saved?" It amazes me the people that will come into this church auditorium and they will listen to the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ died for their sin, the fact that they are on their way to hell and there is not a single solitary good work, nor can we mound them up big enough so that God will finally look at you and say, "You did good enough, come on in." It will not be by your church attendance. It will not be by your tithes. It will not be by your good works. You'll go to hell if you're trusting all of those things. Oh, that we would realize, "I must be saved." What is it going to take? What is it going to take? If you're here this morning and you say, "I have no idea where I would spend eternity. I don't know." What is it going to take? Oh, I would love to have an earthquake right now that would cause everyone to be so fearful that you would say, "What must I do?" All I can do is preach the Word of God and tell you that it is a very, very real, very powerful book, and it will change your eternity. And if you will let it, then it will change your life.
Amen.
But why would you want it to change your life and never touch your eternity? Why would you want to live a good life and then go to hell? Because that's what's going to happen. If you're trusting that God's going to let you in all because of your good works, you are in for a rude awakening according to the very word of God. You'll go straight to hell. All of that good works in your life will do nothing. Oh, would you be willing to see people saved? Would you be willing to be part of a church, of a ministry that is going to send missionaries into the foreign field, that they would say the very same things that I'm telling you right now? For those that know Christ as your Savior, would you be involved? For those that do not, you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you don't have any idea where you would spend eternity, can I beg you, please, once again, would you decide today, I want to go to heaven. My good works will not let me go there. My church attendance will not let me go there. Deciding when I leave this auditorium, boy, I'm excited now. I'm going to live a better life for God and He'll let me in. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You'll go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for your sin so that by faith you could trust Him as your Savior. Oh, are you willing to see people saved? Are you willing? The last thing, Acts 17, look at verse number 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. Now there were some Jews that believed, but there were some that didn't. Those that believed not, they were moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. That's where they were at this point. They assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. By the way, Paul had already been released from prison. He had already been released. Now they find themselves in this man Jason's house. And oh, those Jews, they were so angry. They didn't want this gospel to be spread any further. And so they sat round around the house and they wanted them to come out. And then verse number 6, it says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city crying, these that turned the world upside down. Are you willing to see the world turned upside down? Dear Christian friend, are you willing to see the world turned upside down? Because you were willing to be involved in a faith promise missions giving and you were willing to see missionaries go throughout the world. This world is not going to turn itself upright. This world is not going to decide we've really done some bad things. We better get right. Oh, people try that all the time and it doesn't work and it doesn't work and it doesn't work and it doesn't work. One thing that will work is Jesus Christ. The only thing that will work is God Almighty. I don't care who you vote for in this campaign. I do care, but it's not going to matter. Because it's not going to matter who the president of our country is. God is still on the throne. Amen. And when God says He's done with the country, He's done. Amen. But we can as those who are called by His name, if my people, which are called by my name, God says, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But if you're not a child of God, it doesn't matter. You can vote for whoever you want. If you are a child of God, it doesn't matter. But as a child of God, you can fall on your knees and you can say, dear Lord God, I'm begging you for my country. But are you willing to see the world turned upside down? Who is willing to see that world, this world, turned upside down? God didn't ask someone else to do it. He asked you. God didn't ask the animals to do it. He asked you. God didn't ask the angels to do it. He asked you. God didn't say, it's not your problem. God said, go ye into all the world. You're not going to be able to go into all the world personally. But you can go into all the world by being willing to say, I want this grace to abound in me also. Who is willing to see the world turned upside down? Go back to, I'll not have you turn there in 2 Corinthians 9. He which soweth sparingly, we read in 2 Corinthians 9, we read at the beginning of it, how it's encouraging to others when we give. You go down a few verses, in verse number 6 it says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Oh, we hear that all the time. Oftentimes, someone will come, and in their prayer for the offering, they'll say, "God, you love a cheerful giver." Did you know that that's written in correlation to faith promise giving to support worldwide missions? That's what that's written to. And God loves that faithful giver, that Amen. Cheerful giver.
Amen.
God loves that cheerful giver. The next verse after that, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you." You want God's grace? Be involved in seeing the world turned upside down. Be involved in seeing it happen. No, not every man, not every woman who hears the gospel is going to get saved, but some will. You're there in Acts 17. Go to verse number 32. In verse 32, "And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, the gospel was preached unto them." Listen, this might be someone here today. When they heard of the gospel or the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that Jesus Christ walked out of hell and then walked out of the tomb. Oh, all of the world knows that Jesus rose from the dead, but most of the world doesn't know that his soul went to hell to pay for their sin. But he walked out of hell. He walked out of the grave. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, there in verse number 32, some mocked. Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. It might be someone here today. Ah, just fairy tales. As the young lady told me yesterday. Just a bunch of fairy tales. Some mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." I thank the Lord for the honesty of that person. I thank the Lord for the honesty of someone who says, "You've piqued my interest enough. I need to find out more." I will say thank you to that person. Verse 33, "So Paul departed from them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed." They're out there also. It goes on, it says, "Among them, which was Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them." Look up here. They have names. Every person that has ever trusted Christ as their Savior, and every person who is ever going to hear the gospel from the mouth of a missionary, from the Word of God, they have names. They have names. We just look at them as a group of people, a bunch of Chinese, a bunch of Colombians, a bunch of Brazilians. We just look at them as just this clump of people. They have names. Every last one of them. Yes, there are going to be some that will mock. There are going to be some that will say, "Boy, I want to hear about this again." But there are going to be some that will say, "I believe."
Amen. Amen.
Are you willing to see the world turned upside down? Are we willing to see the world turned upside down? Well, I pray that we are. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I beg you this morning that you would do work in our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be willing, Lord, that we would be willing. Oh, dear Lord God, that we would be willing. It might be today, Lord, that there is someone here who has never trusted Christ as their Savior. I beg, Lord, I beg the Holy Spirit that person would be willing to trust Christ today before they leave, that they would be willing to trust Christ to be born again. Lord, I pray that we as a church body at Coastal Light Baptist Church, that we would be willing. Lord, that we would see the gospel taken throughout all of this world. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Are you willing to see a world turned upside down this morning? Are you willing to be part of that? Well, I pray that you are. I don't know what it is that God's put upon your heart, dear member of Coastal Light, for being involved in worldwide missions, but could I ask you to ask Him again, "Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to see the world turned upside down." It might be that you are here that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If I asked you face to face, if you died right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? If you tell me I don't know, or if you tell me I think I'd go to heaven, both of those tell me the same thing, that you're trusting yourself. Could I beg you, please understand, you cannot do it. It must be through Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to allow someone to come take you, show you from a Bible how you can be saved? If that's you this morning, you say, Pastor Sears, I don't know if I'm saved or not. No one's looking. I don't know if I'm saved or not, but I would like to know. Would you slip your hand up, please? I beg you. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. Your heart's beating perhaps faster than maybe it's ever beat. I don't know where I would spend eternity. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or if I'd go to hell. Would you just slip your hand up? One last opportunity. That's me, Pastor. I'd like for someone to tell me how I can go to heaven. Dear friend, are you willing? Members of Coastal Light, are you willing to say, I am willing? Do you want to be a part? Would you slip your hand up with mine? Mine is up. I'm willing. I am willing. I am willing. I have no idea what Timothy we might see come out of one of these countries. Keep your hands up. I have no idea what churches we might see started. I have no idea what people we might see submitted. But I would love to see the world turned upside down. Your hand is up. Well, I pray that you'll be part of our faith promise giving. I pray that you'll be part of that. Lord, you've seen our hearts. Lord, you've seen our hands. I pray to God that we would respond in kind. Stand, if you would, to your feet. The piano will begin to play. Oh, would you come forward perhaps this morning? Would you say, Lord, you've worked in my heart. Dear God, I must be involved. I must do something. I must do what you have asked. Would you come? Maybe you're here and you say, I don't know where I would go. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or hell. Oh, the door is so open wide for you to go to heaven. But it will slam tight. It will slam closed if you die without Jesus Christ. Would you come this morning as she plays?